I will say, also love to see Kevin walking into the tunnel. There was a chest bump with him and Andrew Berry. Just a reminder, guys, you can let Browns fans see that because it will remind them you actually are here to win games and that you actually do care about the results. Because as soon as I saw that, both of your personal, I like you 5% more is what I'm trying to say. My point is we got Daryl Ryder coming up here in 1 hour's time. Nick Wilson, Jake Volnick here on a Browns Victory Monday. And we're going to get into the Browns side of this in just a moment. But we're going to have a conversation about who needed this win the most. And I can tell you who did, Jake. But and now this is the one, and then everything else is, you know, 2B, 3A, and all that kind of crap. It's Browns fans. And I know this because so much of what has stunk the first 2 weeks of the season is that you went from, hey, you should have won that Bengals game, to you had no business being on the field with the Ravens in the fourth quarter of that game. And this is not the time of the year where let's be pragmatic about football, right? I know that if things don't go well this season, at some point in November, we're going to be having the conversation, should we still be playing X? Should we be playing this player? Do our wins actually counter to what we're trying to do now? I know that if this goes to the lesser result of what we hope it's going to be this year, that's going to be the conversation. That should never be the conversation in September. And so, as a Browns fan, I needed that win on Sunday. And I just feel like, as bad as the organization did, and boy, are they taking victory laps on beating Green Bay, as bad as they needed it, I don't think anyone needed it more than Browns fans who, again, if you had lost yesterday, that would have been, oh gosh, carry the two, 3-16, 3-17 in your last, you know, year and a half. Browns fans and myself as a Browns fan needed that in the worst way.
Yeah, I mean, I think Browns fans in general had reached like a point of apathy 2 weeks in, right?
Yeah.
Where you just had given up most of your faith on the season because you saw, okay, even in a game where it looked like the offense obviously didn't look great in week one, but they functioned in a way that they were picking up first downs, they were creating long drives. This was kind of the recipe. You needed to eliminate the interceptions, you needed to make kicks, but we can't even win that game, and then we get blown out by a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Where's this thing going? And I mean, that was the feeling across the station. Like, hey, we're all sitting here being like, where's the positive spin? How can we get somewhere without a win that's actually, you know, a positive feeling on the Browns? Because I think even most people sitting around here where we want to have the positive spin, we want to, I mean, we sit here and talk football no matter what, as do most Browns fans for the next, you know, 14 plus weeks. You needed something, and I feel like almost nobody felt it was going to be there. You desperately needed this. Like, you needed this in the worst way possible just to, it's like when you talk about basketball and you're shooting one and a shooter just needs to see one go through. It's like, we needed to see one go through, not even for the next one's coming, just to be able to be reminded, oh, we can do that.
Well, and I think you heard in Kevin Stefanski's little, that sounded demeaning. What I meant was his post-game speech there, the little blurb of that is what I was trying to say there. I think you heard how bad he knew he needed that. There was the I was right element of that. There was the, I told you guys that there was a good team lurking here for us. Winning does take belief, and winning does take, and winning is contagious, right? I don't think the Browns, like, I thought people saying, oh, the young players playing well is like a silver lining. I thought that was disingenuous. No. That's incredible that so many young players are having such an impact early in the season. That's not like a silver lining. That's a real thing to be jonesed about. But the longer you get into it, that becomes a silver lining to guys who might not be here next year or certainly might not be here 3 years from now. And to watch that team, again, just never give up and then have the payoff of actually coming back, no matter how fluky and by the way, wasn't the Love interception wasn't fluky. You've been getting pressure on him all day, and that wore on him as the game went on. The byproduct of how you won might be fluky, but the individual plays where you had success were not. Shelby Harris is a kick blocking, he might be a kick block Hall of Famer with the way he's blocked so many kicks in his career. Not fluky. That was just good play. Even if in totality, the win feels a little, well, that's a once in a 25 year kind of win. But no, I think Kevin needed that win so that guys would believe that they could win. Because if you lose that, You like you go from maybe the most competitive 4-13 or 6-11 or 7-10 team in the NFL to being the least competitive of that, whatever your record is. And that's how the backslide happens early in a season and how you really struggle to get back to where you need to be.
Hey, Nick, I talked about it last week. I mean, I was listening to guys like Harold Fannin say they still have belief in Joe Flacco. They still have belief in the offense. I was listening to the defense say all of the right things when the guys would come to talk, be like, no, you know, we're working through things. We just need to make sure we're doing our job. Defense needs to be better. And I was like, okay, you can say those things. How long does that really last, right? Yeah. Like the frustration for the defense has to build. For pass catchers and guys like Harold Fannin, who has looked good so far and has not been one of the guys plagued by drops, it's like, that has to get frustrating at some point, that you go out there, you're putting out a good product, and nothing is matching. And for the whole defense, you're playing at an exceptional level, and the offense, can't even go through and do the most basic of things. Mm-hmm. Like, that would have to wear on you. The win, I don't know that it fixes it. It resets it. Yeah. Right? It's like, okay, not even if the offense, they didn't play that great, obviously, for a majority of that game, even, you know, because you probably say the entirety of that game. They didn't play that great, but we saw a win. Like, there is something here that the offense doesn't even have to play great. They just have to be better than they were. And that's not that, you know, unreasonable of a thing to think could actually happen even in the next couple of weeks.
Well, and that's what's tricky about where the Browns are, because I'll push back. They did play great. That is as good as a defense can play against a offense that I know Jaden Reed's out, but they've got dudes for days. Jordan Love is a good quarterback. But that is as dominant as a front four can play. And we can mention the guys that start, but it goes even into their depth. They were tremendous doesn't even feel like you can really, like, that is as good as a defense can play. And in fairness, by the way, Green Bay also had a lot of success and made a lot of really great plays, but you could tell, like, their offensive line, their defensive line was having success because, oh, KT Levinson's just going to let Rashawn Gary walk into the backfield. Whereas you, like every one of your guys, they did a decent job of protecting the Browns yesterday. It just didn't matter. Oh, we're going to triple team Miles. Cool, this is Mason Graham's play, or this is Isaiah McGuire's play, or this is Alex Wright's play, or the Carson Wessinger play, which got called back, by the way, where he shadows, I can't remember who the defensive tackle was, but he just kind of snuck in. I watched it happen in real time, and I called it out because I was like, oh, they're not going to see that Carson Wessinger is basically just being kind of shadow blocked by his own teammate. And he snuck through, and it was still one of the smartest plays I've seen a rookie ever make, and for him to be a linebacker. But no, to me, like, that's what I think has killed Browns fans, is you see that there are some things here. You see the defense. You do see individual bright spots here and there beyond just your front four. And so that was another thing. Like, Kevin Stefanski has to go in every week and look that defense in the eye and tell him, hey, I've got the offensive game plan that is going to win this. I don't know he could do that this week if he didn't have this win and this exact thing. And Quinshon Judkins score that touchdown, which I think gives you some hope offensively. Andre Schmidt kicking that field goal to win the game, which reinstitutes the belief that this kid can make those kind of kicks. Like, it's been the defense on an island for a fair amount of this season, so to see them have that success is a huge benefit to what Kevin Stefanski's trying to speak to. And that's why, like, okay, did Joe Flacco need that win? You bet your sweet bippy he did. Did the defense need that win? You darn tootin' they did. Everyone needed that win. Browns fans, if we're talking about, needed that win. But after we get past the Browns fans, Kevin needed that win to push that hope further into the season.
Yeah, I think you also needed, when you talk just head coach in general, Kevin was on the brink of losing 9 games in a row.
Yeah.
Their last win came in week 12 of last season against the Steelers. I don't know too many coaches that get into a season, right? If you were to break this down and make it instead of across two, just into one season, and you go a year and you go off a 9-game losing stretch that still has a job that next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 9 games straight will lose you a job. I wasn't going to lose it here in Cleveland. Like, Kevin was going to be your coach in week 4. I don't have any doubts about that.
Yeah, but you can lose your job before they fire you.
Right. Like, you could completely lose the locker room, and there could be a feeling among ownership and even, you know, upper management of being like, yeah, Kevin's losing too much. Like, he's probably going to be gone. It's not the right moment right now.
Do you agree, by the way, that Kevin needed that win more than anybody else in the organization?
Yeah.
Would you put Joe above him?
I don't think that Joe needed that win. I think in the way that they won that game, I don't know how much that win actually even helps Joe.
I think, to what you're saying, I think that win might have been a stay of execution for Joe. I don't know how much winning that game actually helped Joe, because Joe did so little to... And by the way, he did a lot of the little operational stuff that they talk a lot about, but in way of game-winning throws, game-winning plays, Joe was behind the eight ball for most of that day, and a lot of it comes down to the fact he clearly does not trust his offensive line, and so he was passing up the big plays that actually were there.
I mean, I think they broke it down on the broadcast. There was the... a check down to the middle of the field. I can't remember who he completed it to, but I think it was Jerry Jeudy was running wide open across the middle of the field on a post, or it was Isaiah Bond, and he just, I mean, went through so early, and he had the protection to get the deep throw there. It's like his eyes weren't even thinking about making that throw. I mean, how quick can I get this
out?
There
was the 3rd-and-7 audible where he checked into Dylan Sampson on a little run on 3rd-and-7 when they clearly had a pass play, and I saw Micah Parsons just... giddy up and getting ready and almost going to, it looked like he was going to jump across the line of scrimmage at one point. And I was like, oh, this is going to be in. And as I was thinking, this is going to be in Joe's head, I saw him check down and I was like, oh, I wonder what he's audibling to. And then he audibled to a Dylan Sampson run. That was the offensive line being in Joe's head.
Yeah. 3rd-and-7 to Dylan Sampson. I like Dylan Sampson, who didn't have a big impact in that game. I'm not running the ball on 3rd-and-7 to Dylan Sampson. He's getting knocked over.
Yeah. Like, especially early in the game when you need to be more aggressive if you're going to beat a team that has that much talent that could be a Super Bowl winner still.
Yeah, like, again, we talk about which guy has they needed this win more. Like, I think Joe needed that for partial of the confidence, but is anybody walking around today being like, oh, thank God we had Joe Flacco to, you know, orchestrate us through that win, even if he did do good things, which, again, operationally, I thought he did. He did a good job not to put the ball into harm's way outside of the end of the first half. There's 2 seconds on the clock, and I make a bad throw that it doesn't really matter. They're not scoring off this drive. But, like, he protected the ball well. He did what Kevin asked him to do in most of those scenarios, but I didn't walk away from that game going, well, Joe looked great, and he was a big reason why we won.
Yeah, like, I could see this kind of win being the thing that we look back in Week 18 and say, that was a turning point. Even if it's just turning point in terms of competitiveness, like, hey, that was a moment where that really did something for Kevin and that team staying in the season. With Joe, I can see this being a game where it was like, that's the first time that I realized he's a bigger part of the problem than we wanted to, and that maybe kept him in the pocket for another week. Like, this is maybe for Joe Flacco a 1 week reprieve, whereas for Kevin Stefanski, this can have, I think, season long repercussions if this truly did remind these guys that they can win here. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Peter in Eastlake. Peter, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen.
It is a great afternoon, Peter. Welcome.
Pulling that Uno reverse on the Packers at the end was just fantastic. My wife was out shopping. She was at Costco. She missed the entire game. She came home with 5 minutes left, and she goes, how are the Browns playing? I say, like, crap. And then she walks in, and then, you know, field goal, interception. She goes, well, they just tied it up. I was like, well, then you can't go to Costco on Sundays anymore, I guess. I differ from most people, but I think that they should ride this wave of momentum and pull the trigger and start one of the rookies next week. Okay. Because if you don't start them next week, you have to, you can't start them against the Vikings or the Steelers. The Vikings, you know, they're good and they're already going to have played in England. So they're going to be rested. They're going to be used to the time difference. When we play the Steelers in Pittsburgh, they're coming off of a bye, okay? The Lions are playing the Ravens tonight. The Lions are going to get the hell beat out of them by the Ravens. I mean, yes, they're going to inflict some punishment on the Ravens themselves, but the Ravens play everyone tough. The Ravens beat the hell out of everyone. I think now is the time to pull the trigger on the rookie. I think ride the wave of momentum and get some gumption to this offense and see what happens.
So I think a lot of people are where you are, Peter. I'm still trying to do the thing, and I appreciate you. I was ready to bench Joe at halftime. I really was. And this is a bigger conversation we can have as the show goes on. But I will tell you, Kevin saying multiple times in the last 24 hours, after there was a report on Sunday that Tommy Rees and Kevin had considered benching Joe Flacco leading into that game, I think it's wild that he already came out and said, definitively, we're sticking with Joe Flacco. I think that is something that absolutely could have a huge impact over the next couple weeks here. 216-474-0092. Who needed that win more? Kevin Stefanski or Joe Flacco. Alex in Worcester, you stick there. A little bit of NFL news, breaking NFL news. Nick Bosa will be out for the rest of the season. He tore his ACL. The 49ers yesterday said they felt like he was actually going to avoid the big injury. Well, that turns out to be all for naught. Nick Bosa out for the year with an ACL tear. When we come back, it's no longer just a silver lining for these Cleveland Browns. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.